It is great to be gathered here together today. My name is Kevin. I'm glad to be here with you. Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. So said by a famous French gastronomer, a person who studies the stomach, not the stars. And his argument is, what and how much we eat says much more about us than just our need for food as a biological need. The type of food you eat identifies your culture. The type of food you eat identifies where you live. The type of food you eat identifies how rich or how poor you are. The amount of food you eat will tell you how rich or poor you are. The quality of food will tell you how rich or poor you are. How fast you eat tells much about your lifestyle. Do you eat alone? Do you eat in community? Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. It's interesting that the central and most significant of Christian rites of the Christian faith are around food. Every month, we as God's people here in Kelowna eat together. We share communion. And this meal says a lot about who we are. You know, the beginnings of our faith were always about food in some way or another. There was the sacrificial system, which was about food that was not eaten but given up, sacrificed. There was food that was considered clean and food that was considered unclean. There was manna that came down from heaven and had to be eaten right away. It sustained God's people, caused them to live in faith and total dependence. It said much about who they were. Then, of course, there is the Passover meal. And this meal forms the basis of identity for God's people in the Old Testament and continues to do so in the New Testament. Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. Last week, we talked about this meal, the Passover. We looked at the concept of Haggadah, a part of the Passover ceremony, the recital of the Passover story. But we also understand that there is a deeper meaning to the word Haggadah. It means a way of life that is related to God's story, into which we live into it, and we live out of God's story. And this week is our second week in this series through the Passover. And we are looking at the second element or component of the Passover meal is called Kiddush. And it too is related to food. Kiddush means consecration or sanctification, to set apart as holy. It is a blessing recited over the wine to begin the Passover. It's a declaration that what is being entered into has been set aside as sacred. The Kiddush is not just used as a blessing over the Passover, but also to start the Sabbath and other holy days. So what they do is they take a cup like this, and they lift it up high and recite a blessing that declares that what follows is sacred. It sounds like this, Baruch Atah Adonai. That's where I run out of my Hebrew. Three words is all I've got. But I can give you the English a bit more. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who chose us from all peoples and exalted us from all tongues and sanctified us with his commandments. That is part of the Kiddush, the setting aside of what is next as holy. And it is a way to participate in the story of God's people, to live that story and to live out of that story. I wonder what we count as sacred today. Not much. We have really lost touch with the idea of sacred. Sacred ritual, sacred space, sacred time. As we strive to live into God's story and we strive to be a people called by God, a holy people, His body, the idea of sacred, the idea of Kiddush has much to offer us. It has much to offer us because it is a way that we can understand and live into the story of God, the story of salvation, as breaking into everyday life. The sacred invading the ordinary. Now, it seems like there is nothing so precious today as time, as having time that is set aside to God and fills us up, makes us whole, draws us closer to God, draws us closer to one another. Entering into the sacred is an invitation to holiness in a way that can change us profoundly. The meaning of the word Kiddush, to set apart, to make holy, there is nothing that is more of a challenge today than setting things aside, setting our worries aside, setting our striving aside, setting our cell phones aside. The notion of setting aside, it is gaining momentum in our society from a purely secular, rational perspective and a practical point of view. People are recognizing that the way we are living our lives with no space for reflection, no space for conversation, no space for just being is destructive. And this is without the concept of the sacred. And you bring the concept of the sacred into this, and it brings this idea of creating space to a whole new level, of living our story in the everyday, of carving out that sacred in the ordinary. I don't know if you're like me, but I've always had this inner struggle with this idea of praying for meals. I never really quite understood what we were doing. The food looks healthy, because it seems so habitual, so empty, so meaningless. Yet, as we understand the significance of the sacred and entering to it, it really hit me. It takes on a new meaning. The significance of praying before sitting down with family or people we are journeying with, and many of those things that we do habitually, can and should be questioned. But the idea of saying this Kiddush, a prayer before a family meal, before eating, I'll tell you what, this helps me out a bit. Because what we are doing is saying this time and space that we are spending together in this company, this time we are spending together nourishing our bodies, it is sacred. And we will guard it. It is carving out a space in time and saying we will appreciate, we will value, we will remember. Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. So that's what's happening in the Passover with the Kiddush, the lifting of the cup, the ceremony of prayer and blessing over the cup. It is setting time aside to be sacred. Now, there are not many places in Scripture that show the action or the cup actually being lifted up with it playing such a distinctive role in the Passover. Psalm 116:13 is one of them, and this is what it says. I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. So this action that takes place in the Psalms would be recognized as Kiddush, the setting aside of things to be sacred. And this is the understanding is behind the whole imagery of lifting up the cup that the Jewish believers would have understood and that early Christians would have understood and that Jesus would have understood, that this idea is invoking a sacred space. And the idea of Kiddush is never really explained. There is no definition of Kiddush, of what is happening in Psalm 116:13 when the cup is lifted, or in the Passover ceremony. We simply know from context that what they were doing was setting time aside in this fashion to be sacred. We simply know from tradition that the Kiddush had been a vital part of Jewish tradition and the Passover. And what is understood by the lack of explanation of the Kiddush, at least what is implied, is that everyone knew what this was about. So it needed no explaining. It was the water that they swam in. So we bring all of this with us to the New Testament. And this band of everyday Jews who had decided to follow Jesus. After Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we call Palm Sunday, we know that Jesus shared a meal with his disciples. And we know that after the meal, Jesus is betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified. What happened at what we call the Last Supper? The actual Last Supper was a large meal, probably most likely a Passover meal. Jesus, being an observant Jew, was also required to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover, slaughtering the Paschal Lamb. So this meal with his disciples, this Passover meal that we call the Last Supper, happened on the evening before his death, on the traditional day of the Passover Seder. We read in Matthew 26, verses 27 to 28, that he took a cup and held it up. It doesn't say that, but we can imagine this. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So they are reclining, having a meal together, a special meal, a sacred meal. When they're finished, Jesus took a cup. And most likely, almost certainly, like the Kiddush, lifted the cup and gave thanks. And Jesus said a blessing over the wine, which would have represented the traditional first cup of wine at the Seder meal. And just like the Passover meal, this new Passover meal is given new meaning, a fuller meaning, by Jesus at the Last Supper. So this meal endures today and is at the center of this movement of Jesus' followers that we are part of today. And it defines us. It connects us to the past, to the Passover. It connects us to Jesus and his disciples. It connects us to one another. Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. We must remember that Jesus prayed this Kiddush over the Passover because it was declared a sacred space. It was declared a time to slow down, to reflect, to remember, to just be. And I want to tell you that this idea is something that we need today. Because we live in a world where there is less and less space to remember, to reflect, and to just sit and be. We need to carve out that space. And the communion meal is one way we can do it together because it is something that we declare sacred. It is a time to reflect, to remember, and just be. Communion is really an invitation to a meal that we participate in because we want to change. A meal we participate in intentionally, not passively, so that the sacred nature of it will open us up to the work that God wants to do in us. Did you know that in all societies of the world, ancient and modern, eating together is a primary way of entering into and sustaining relationships? As a matter of fact, the English word companion comes from the French and Latin words meaning one who eats bread with another. Not many years ago, the family meal was one of the important events of the day. Families would come together from their days and sit down to a meal together. And a family meal is a time to be yourself. It's a time to be safe. It should be a time to be listened to and to listen. A time to be human and vulnerable. We all eat. Eating together takes down walls. And this points out the important part of communion that we easily forget. This meal is about gathering together. It is a gathering. It is about experiencing the other, listening and being listened to, sitting in the presence of the other. Okay, now I know it is not much of a meal. There is no way any of you will ever get filled up here. One piece of bread and one bit of juice. This is obvious. The meal has changed over the years from a Passover to a Passover in which Jesus gave new meaning and significance to a Christian agape meal, like we see in 1 Corinthians, where they all sit together and eat together, to a symbol of a meal, like we have here today. But let us not forget the power of a symbol. It speaks to a greater reality. When we enter into the sacred, when we create space in our life for this meal, this tradition, we are saying we are participating in a reality that goes beyond what is simply seen. There is a great biblical word that is really mistreated and misused. And that word is apocalypse. Because immediately you think of zombies. And you think of war and destruction and annihilation. Biblically, what it means is simply a revealing of what was previously unseen. It is a removing of the veil or the covering and seeing what is behind. If I took my shirt off, it would be an apocalypse. If we open those doors on the side there that you can see, it would be an apocalypse because we would see what had previously been hidden. That is an apocalypse. When we participate in communion, when we decide to enter into the sacred, to create space in our lives, to reflect, to heal, to feel, we are entering into what was previously hidden. It's a doorway into what is unseen. It is apocalyptic. I love the idea of Kiddush, that we take time to set things apart, to slow down, to reflect, to set space aside that we view as sacred. But it goes beyond that. It's not just about making space in life. It is about our journey as individuals and people to become holy, to become more Christ-like. Philippians 1, 5, and 6 says this, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I am convinced that entering into the story of Jesus, the story of redemption, participating in it, has a large part to play in setting us aside, consecrating us, sanctifying us, making us holy. You know that space we enter into, being deliberate about it? It may seem like a small thing. And it is a small thing. But I am reminded that many big things are started with small things. And God wants to do a work in you and us. He does it, and he wants to meet you. Will you create that space? We are what we eat. Our meal defines us as Christians. And I suggest that our meal is more than just grape juice that we can buy maybe at Walmart. Maybe it's high-end grape juice at First Baptist. It's probably from an organic boutique. Or it's more than just bread that can be bought at a bakery. What do you eat? It's time to start paying attention to what we put in. Because what we put in says what matters to us. It says who we are. Today, as we set time aside to eat this meal together, however small, let us enter into that sacred space that God has created for us, that we are declaring. And let that space, let that time, let this meal be a time and a space when you remember and enter into the story of Jesus and the promise of new life and the work that Jesus wants to do in you. Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. We are going to create that space right now around communion, because all of us want to create that space together. I'd like to call the servers up. Just want to explain how we're going to do this. I'm going to serve the servers first, and I would like you to come up, and they will serve you whenever you are ready, okay? You don't have to pop up when someone pops up. It's not like that. Whenever you're ready, take your time and come up and be served. If you want prayer, they'll be happy to pray with you. Please take your time. Let's slow this down and create some space. Jesus is Lord. And he declares this sacred space. And he invites us into it. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. When you drink this, you proclaim me until I return." Today, I invite you to enter into that story, because it is our story that we live by, and we want to declare it to the world. Let me pray, and I'll serve the servers, and you come up when you're ready. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you take things and you give them greater meaning, that you take our lives and you give us greater meaning. We thank you for you becoming fully human yet staying fully divine, entering into the normal as the sacred. Father, as we participate in this meal together, let it say to others and to ourselves that we are open to the work that you want to do in us. Let it be a small step that says we will continue following you. In your name we pray. Amen.